From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, March 19th. I'm Jonathan Aul. An unseasonably warm day in February and some unexpected events led to two wildfires in the Mark Twain National Forest. But plans to burn some of the land on purpose helped contain the fire.
There is definitely a little bit of luck. I give a lot of credit to our fire program.
Coming up on The Gateway, we'll hear from a forest ranger about the fires. Today is primary election day in Illinois. Polling locations are open until 7 p.m. tonight. Southern Illinois voters will likely decide who will represent them in Congress. The heavily conservative district will decide between Republican incumbent Mike Bost and primary challenger Darren Bailey in Illinois' 12th congressional district. Much of the Metro East falls in Illinois' 13th congressional district. There, Republicans Thomas Clatterbuck and Joshua Lloyd will compete for their party's nomination. The winner will take on incumbent Democrat Nikki Budzinski in November. And Madison County voters will likely decide their next board chairman. Republican incumbent Kurt Prenzler will face County Treasurer Chris Slusser. No Democrat has filed to run this November. A local food bank in St. Louis County is investing $10 million into its operations over the course of this year. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports Operation Food Search plans to update its facilities and expand programming.
Around $8.5 million of the total investment will go to Operation Food Search's physical campus. The food bank is more than doubling the storage space it has for shelf-stable food and nearly doubling the cooler and freezer space it has to store perishable items. President and CEO Kristen Wild says the updates will let the organization accept more food.
Our goal is really to improve the amount of fresh, perishable, nutritious food that we're distributing in the community. And we've sometimes had to turn away food donations.
Wild says the updates also include a new teaching kitchen and other programming to help community residents. She says the whole project will likely be completed by this fall. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Harris-Stowe State University's College of Education remains accredited by the Missouri Board of Education. The state's education board decided earlier this month that the historically black institution's educator preparation program met its annual standards. This comes after the university received a letter of noncompliance in November from the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. The university also let its membership with a voluntary teachers' college accreditor lapse at the end of 2023. Harris-Stowe's president, LaTanya Collins-Smith, says the university will continue preparing students to become teachers in the region. Apps like eBird and iNaturalist ask people to collect data on plants and animals they see. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports, scientists are starting to learn more about how these apps can lead to biased data.
When Elizabeth Carlin moved to St. Louis, she wanted to know where to see gray squirrels.
So I started looking at iNaturalist to try to figure out where the squirrels are, and noticed that it was completely biased information, that all the squirrel sightings were in the southern part of the city.
Carlin is a postdoctoral fellow at Washington University and studies how urbanization influences wildlife. Now in a new paper, Carlin and more than a dozen fellow researchers are examining bias in data from citizen science apps. They use St. Louis as a case study. Carlin says it's important to learn how these problems show up in the data so that wildlife conservation is equitable. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed an executive order yesterday aimed at creating better access to new advanced drugs and treatments for Illinois patients. That includes a focus on sickle cell disease. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention describes SCD as a group of inherited red blood cell disorders that can lead to a higher risk of stroke, chronic pain, and other health issues. Pritzker says his goal is to make more expensive therapies affordable and available in Illinois.
If we can narrow the affordability gap, those who are suffering from these diseases won't have to wait a generation before they can access these groundbreaking cures. Indeed, I hope they won't have to wait more than a year.
More than 40% of sickle cell patients in Illinois are on Medicaid.
Hey, it's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson, your afternoon newscaster here at St. Louis Public Radio. Keep podcasts like The Gateway thriving by becoming a member of St. Louis Public Radio today. Your monthly donation ensures that your community stays informed and has access to fact-based local and national news. Give right now at stlpr.org, and thanks.
Two wildfires consumed more than 1,000 acres of the Mark Twain National Forest in late February. Firefighters contained the burns, but the unseasonably warm and windy conditions that let them spread quickly underscore the importance of the Forest Service's plans to set some on purpose. Chris Olds, the ranger for the Salem District, is standing on a gravel road running through the Mark Twain National Forest about 35 miles south of Rolla. On one side of the road, there's an active fire. This is a prescribed burn, a fire designed to thin out the forest and clear dead leaves to help keep the habitat healthy. A helicopter is dropping balls of a chemical powder into the center of a few hundred acre area that ignites leaves and small trees. Firefighters with lots of gear are monitoring the outside to make sure it stays contained. But the other side of the road is charred black from a wildfire set by an arsonist 3 weeks ago. Old says the wildfire was in an area that the Forest Service had been planning to burn.
So we were able to use an existing burn, prepped, prescribed burn footprint to manage an actual wildfire incident. And so we were able to let it, burn all the way up to this Forest Service road that had already been cleared, and just lightly scraped. And then we had the road here to the west, and then we were able to box that fire in so it couldn't get any bigger. There is definitely a little bit of luck. I give a lot of credit to our fire program. They do a lot of work on the ground and on the landscape to prepare different large blocks of land across the forest to be burned every year. So if it wasn't this block that was prepared, it might have been the block to the east. And so, there's what I'll call points where we can catch it on the forest to kind of, keep it small, get it contained, and, try to get around it so it doesn't take out, large chunks of federal land or, private, state, and, other land that might be adjoining.
So what's the difference between what happened here and what's happening over there?
So what happened here is a lot of environmental factors, that allowed it to, start. What's happening on that side of the road is it's prescribed. So all the prescription, requirements were met. And so, we can manage it, we can control it, we can do everything we need to within, our means to keep it within the area we want to keep it in. This, the winds were too high, it was too dry, the fuels were too dry, and we wouldn't have had the resources. It was not a good day for us to burn, which is why we didn't burn it that day. But somebody else thought otherwise and set it, and so we had to get on it, contain it as quickly as we could.
With climate change, we're going to see more dry conditions. We're going to see more 80-degree days in February. How does that impact the way that you approach managing the forest, fighting fires that aren't intended, and the way you do prescribed burns?
It's continuing to use the best available science to manage the landscape to the best of our abilities. It's not what we used to do 5, 10, 20, 50 years ago may not be the right tool for the job now and may not be the best way to approach forest management today. But there's a lot of science out there, there's a lot of data out there, and it's using that to help have data-driven information to help educate and inform us on when, where, and even how frequent do these prescribed burns need to occur. What other tools should we be using in conjunction with prescribed fire? So it's looking at it for me from a more holistic view. It's constantly being a student and learning as we go using that best available information and science that we can get to educate ourselves, educate the public, and educate anybody that's willing to listen.
That's Chris Olds, District Ranger for the Mark Twain National Forest. Our David Kozaris edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.